America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logie. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, so it is January 31st, 2020, last show of the month, and we're all fucking sick.
Except me, so far. Knocking on wood.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. Yeah, Pat may be joining us, or he may not, because he's probably been the sickest out of all of us.
Yeah.
He definitely has been.
We're all just basically drowning in a sea of cough medicine, chicken noodle soup, and lemon-flavored carbonated beverages that may be or may not be Sprite. But yeah, it was a hell of a week. Amongst other things, we've got, of course, more news about the impeachment trial, including some late-breaking news. They will not be bringing in witnesses. They held the vote this afternoon, and they voted to not bring any more witnesses in, which means that the vote for acquittal or whether or not they will quit him will probably happen on Wednesday. Which, fun fact, that's the day after President Trump is supposed to give the State of the Union address.
I'm not trying to mention it at all.
Like, oh, that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Will his handlers keep him in check, or will it be a giant shit show?
Well, anything that Trump is involved in is going to be a giant shit show. So
almost every time.
Also, we had a rather terrible, unfortunate celebrity death that actually happened as we were recording the Day Zero update last week, and we will be mentioning that. Also, we got some news from the Supreme Court. The coronavirus is now basically wreaking havoc through China. Worldwide, the majority of its victims sadly being in China, but it has made its way out of China and into North America and East and Western Europe. Also, the New Orleans Saints are in deep shit because they helped a bunch of pedophiles try to dodge getting. And that's just like the tip of the fucking iceberg. We'll have a bunch of other stuff to talk about as well. Of course, the entertainment.
It's a week for shitty people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Hummer is coming back, and we're going to let you know why. But before we do any of that, as usual, we have to start off, as we always do. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I've, been auditioning streaming services because, well, I got a smart TV with a Roku built in, so I figured why the hell not? Just go through and, try out some stuff. Roku gave me a 3-month, trial for CBS All Access, so I figured I'd take them up on that and watch Star Trek Picard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek Picard, as well as none of the other Star Treks, are available in the Canadian version of CBS All Access.
I thought you knew that.
I didn't.
I thought it was on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, but yeah. Okay. It's like, hey, it was free, so it's like, but it just seems kind of weird to me, like, CBS's own streaming service, I can't get that show. It just seems strange to me. So,
well, they don't want you, Phil.
Well, if they're going to be that weird in particular, well, I don't really want them either. I got my trial. I'm going to try it out, but I don't think I'm going to be giving them any money.
No.
So I've been trying out that one. I've been trying out Crave TV, which is actually pretty good. It's got some a lot of good stuff there as far as a current series goes. That's actually where I can watch Star Trek Picard in Canada, as long as according to JustWatch.com, which, if you're not familiar with, is really, really a good service. Check it out. It kind of helps deconfusify TV watching. So take a look at that. So basically just been looking at that and finally got to the point where I could watch Star Trek Picard.
Did you watch both episodes?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I watched both episodes. The first episode was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
The second episode, a lot happened, and not a lot happened.
Yeah, I got to the end of the episode last night, and I'm like, what? That's it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was exactly how I put it.
Yeah. So, also, it got dark really, really fast.
It did. Yeah. I didn't expect that doctor to show up.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't wait for next week's episode. I really wish they would have just dropped all these at once, but it's CBS.
But it's a good slow burn.
Yeah. So I'll probably end up binging them all when they're released. So they're all released together. I'll just go through it all again. But yeah, like Patrick Stewart is like still like one of the best out there.
Just, oh my gosh, right?
Yeah. So damn good in this show. It's kind of running circles around just about everybody on that show, unfortunately.
Now, did you notice, did Hanalei Culpepper, the producer, did she play the reporter? Was that her?
I don't know. I'd have to check IMDb for that.
Yeah, and if you haven't watched Will Wheaton's, what is that thing called that he does?
Ready Room.
Ready Room afterwards. You could watch that. Although I hate that it seems to be only on Instagram and you can't make it full screen to watch the video on your TV. So you watch it in this little itty bitty postage size window.
Oof.
Just, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
Oh, it's on YouTube? Okay, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, but then you have to watch it like vertical bars across the yeah.
Yeah.
Once you got that Samsung TV from CES, the vertical one.
Oh.
Yeah,
no.
Don't worry
about
it.
No.
Yeah. Apart from that, well, I've been watching, I watched Alita Battle Angel.
Oh, yeah, the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Cameron was on a production role on it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and Robert...
Literally Reagan. The reason why there has never been an anime of Battle Angel Alita except for that OVA series.
Hmm.
Because he bought all of the film production rights.
Well, this particular movie actually turned out quite well. It's really rare to see an anime adaptation that actually works and is stylistically consistent with what you'd expect an anime to be. But this one managed to pull it off.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so yeah. If
you were did you find the eyes disconcerting?
Not at all. I didn't. I thought it actually fit quite well. So yeah, really enjoyed that a lot. Looked great in 4K, especially with the HDR. Looks awesome.
Part of the reason that movie is so good is because. Cameron managed to wrangle Robert Rodriguez to be the director.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of good talent on there. I thought the story was basically an anime story, so it doesn't run as deep as you would expect it to, but it's still fun. It's still a really good movie to watch. Apart from that, well, that's kind of... Yeah, I mean, this weekend I'll probably end up watching Ford versus Ferrari. Yeah, heard really good things about that one, so yeah, I'm looking forward to sitting down and watching that. And yeah, that's about it for me.
All right, then Teresa, what about you?
Clearly, been watching Star Trek Picard and enjoying that. I've also, we've been like really behind on Doctor Who. So, we started that up and got through the first two episodes of that. And I think we have like three more episodes and then, you know, whatever gets released. And, we've been watching Schitt's Creek. We're not in the final season. We're still a little bit behind, but not too much. And, playing a lot of mobile games because, you know, that's kind of how life is going at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens. And, God, nothing really remarkable with mobile gaming, just lots of Bloons and, Kingdom, of course. Mm. And, working on my, Clash of Clans still kind of, almost ashamed to admit it, but, you know, there we are. Other than that, gosh, I really haven't been doing that much, just working.
All right. Chris, what about you?
So it has been pretty cold the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
Today, weirdly, was the warmest of the days, and it's the one that snowed.
Yeah.
So yeah, that wasn't... it's light snow, so it's not really an issue. It's going to melt pretty quickly, but... I think we're supposed to get to 50 by Sunday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, normal winter stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, this week I signed up for the Disney Plus Hulu package bundle. Was trying out some of that. I also tried out ESPN Plus and determined that it's a shit show.
Mm.
There's like nothing on there really. Like you can't even get like archives of Around the Horn, Pardon the Interruption, like any of their shows. It's all stuff that's specifically made for ESPN Plus.
Mm.
And I guess I must have signed up during a bad time of the sports season because it's all UFC and tennis, basically. Because football is almost over. Baseball hasn't started yet. I don't think they have basketball on there. There's college basketball. I could watch like local Dayton feed of their recent game, which is like, that's neat, but also, no. It's not March Madness season yet, so I'm not watching college basketball much. But Disney Plus and Hulu is the more interesting part of the package. And Disney Plus, I got back onto that and determined the app on the Roku TV is bad. There's no subtitles on that, so you have to turn on the closed captioning in the TV's menus to get that to activate. So I just use the PS4 app, which essentially still uses closed captioning, which I don't – just put subtitles, Disney. You got the money for this. I just stop screwing around with this stuff. And so I was trying out some of the movies that they say have 4K and HDR. They got a little section for that. So I watched Moana, which looks really nice. That was like, okay, they got some of their animated stuff, like their old animated stuff. So I watched Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which I was – I need like a second feed of that that's like here's what it looks like before whatever they did to this to make it 4K. Because it looks nice for – 73-year-old movie, something like that.
Yeah.
The animation still looks really nice. It looks like they filmed people like doing out the motions that they wanted for this, and then animating over it. Essentially,
no. Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
that
is.
That's what it looks really. They've been doing that pretty much since the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did that for how crisp that looked.
Yeah, they also did it for like Cinderella. Sleeping Beauty.
It's
basically any character.
This movie.
Yeah. They've actually got footage of, like, you know, the actual actresses that they filmed to trace over. So, yeah.
That was the thing that was most striking was, like, how crisp the animation looks compared to a lot of stuff from that era. So that
especially
was
when compared to the dwarves. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also have not seen that movie in such a long time. I remember the beats of it. I don't remember a lot of the other stuff. Like the dude that tries to stab her and is like, go, run.
Yeah.
Run. Then she goes on a drug trip through the forest, thinking that everything's coming alive to try and grab her.
Yeah.
And she like falls down a cliff and like, what the fuck is all this shit?
Yeah. The movie is 83 years old, by the way. Or at least that it was released in 1937, so...
Okay, I thought it was 47. But yeah, that's... that was pretty nice. And also, there's a lot of dead time in there.
Well, you have to remember, it was the first full-length animated film that had been released in the
United States.
Feels
like it should have been, like, 20 minutes short.
Yeah. You gotta remember that, you know, Disney and company, they were kind of working in unexplored territory at that point. So, yeah, it's... Yeah. Imperfect.
Yeah, I just remember. I think Sword in the Stone is one of my favorites of theirs, and That's pretty quick. It's like 60 minutes or so.
Yeah, and they also like recycled like a shit ton of animation from some of the other movies they did.
Hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that was nice to watch it. There were some parts where it looked clearly like they must have touched up the animation.
Yeah.
Some of it looked a lot sharper than other areas.
Yeah.
Like sometimes just Snow White's eyes just look all fucked up in parts of it.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of did in the original.
Yeah.
You have to remember because, like, again, they were rotoscoping the whole thing. Yeah. So, yeah, her eyes do look kind of off.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's like, she looks high at this point.
Other parts,
she doesn't.
She acts like it, too.
Yeah.
She is so Snow White, out of all of the Disney princesses, is the one that is just so infuriatingly cheerful all the goddamn time.
And, like, a little bit dumb, too.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, she was like 15 years old in the original story, so.
Yeah. And, like, she didn't even recognize the Huntsman was, like, the wicked stepmother's henchman, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, it's like one of those weird movies, you know, like the stereotype of, like, 70s and 80s teen movies of like, oh, we'll put glasses on the pretty girl and she'll look ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, we put Snow White in rags and that somehow is supposed to make her ugly.
Uh-huh. Well, that's from the original story.
Yeah.
So.
But it's like, no, that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, she's still putting makeup on. It's like, yeah, what? What do you think is going to happen, you dumbasses?
Also, how I remember as a kid how fucking terrifying the evil queen turns into the old lady and
they're
up on the cliff. It's like holy crap!
Yeah, it's like oh, there's this rock that's going to fall, and she's trying to.
She's
push
using
it over.
like a branch or something as a lever.
Yeah, she just breaks her. Her part of the cliff, so
and
she goes
falls.
Falling off to die.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, good luck, bitch! You just fucking killed yourself, you asshole.
I mean, it's better than I believe what ended up happening in the original story.
Yeah,
where you know, after Snow White gets married, the new king basically forces the evil queen to wear a pair of fiery hot iron shoes and dance until she's dead. So.
Yeah.
Fucking Germans, man.
Yeah.
They aren't messing around, apparently.
Nope.
Yeah, and the end's just weirdly rushed, like, oh, she's in a sleep. Oh, this guy just wanders around, finds out about her, and gives her a kiss, and game over. We're done.
Yeah. Also, I'm also pretty sure in the original story, it didn't stop with the kiss.
I'm pretty sure you're right, so I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got an old copy of, like, the Redacted Grimm's Fairy Tales around here somewhere. I gotta check that.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. Hulu, I tried the app on the Roku TV itself, and they've done some stuff to Hulu since I last used it. It's just giant text all over the place. instead of, like how Netflix is a lot of just box art. That's how you navigate, is just looking at box art. Here, it's a lot of text. And they'll... Like, while you're highlighting, like, a show's name, it'll just show the background, like, with the still from the show, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not wild about the new GUI for Hulu. It's not
like
pleasing.
Yeah, especially to get to the list of things I've added to my queue so I can watch it. It's like, takes a while. But yeah, I watched the new season of Veronica Mars that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Really liked it. It's also a fucking bummer. Especially the ending. The show's pretty good. They do a good job with that. It's about a bombing, or multiple bombings, I guess. The Sea Sprite Hotel, which is where Veronica was raped at the very beginning of the show. It gets bombed, and then all hell breaks loose after that as her and her father try and figure out what's going on. They're hired by one of the senators, I guess, for California, which is a Muslim American. So there's a lot of shit going on with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because his son, I think, ends up losing like 3 fingers in the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Which also means he can do the tubular thing because he has his pinky and thumb. That's all he's left. So he jokes about he can do tubular now.
Yeah.
He hires the Mars to figure out what happened. And yeah, it's been, I think, 10 years since the movie that they did, something like that. She's in her 30s, and her dad is in his 50s, I think 56, they talk about. And he's been in an accident, so he has a cane he's walking around with, and is having, like, memory lapses, and there's whole stuff about whether that's, you know, a very bad sign or what. But yeah, they're dealing with all that stuff. And there's a good whole plot line to it where I think in the original series they her and her father have like a contest to see who can go the longest without cursing. So she just replaces every curse word with cuss, which is great. Similar way that they do that kind of thing with in The Good Place.
Yeah,
so they kind of keep that going. She just replaces every curse word with cuss. Like, what the cuss? All over the place, which is hilarious. Other people cuss in the show, but not those two. But yeah, Patton Oswalt's in the show. In this season. He was in The Explosion, involved in that. And he's a conspiracy nut job. He's in a group called the Murderheads, meaning they try and solve cold cases. They're those kind of people. Yeah, so it's the season's good. I watched like the first episode or two when I first signed up, and then I binged through the rest of it the next day. And because of that ending was such a bummer, I started watching King of the Hill. I need to wash this out of my brain and watch something that's hilarious, which is King of the Hill. Watching the first season, and there's just some great stuff there, especially the second episode, which is the sex ed episode, where Peggy ends up getting picked to be the substitute teacher to take over sex ed, and she is incredibly repressed.
Oh boy.
Cannot say any of the body parts. And so there's a good scene where she's finally getting over it, and she's like trying to say penis, like happiness, happiness, penis. And she's like, she starts figuring out how to say this stuff, and like, uvula, uterus. Then just yells out as loud as she can, vagina! So that everybody in the neighborhood can hear her. And it's like, that's one of the funniest things. Funniest parts. And yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here in the early parts of the first season. Especially as you see them trying to nail down some things. There's a smoking episode in there. It's just pretty good. A lot of good stuff there.
So just that's a quick tip, Chris. You like me, you buy Blu-rays too.
Yeah.
If you have redeemed some of those Blu-rays on iTunes, don't know if you've ever done that. You have digital copies of those. Do that as quickly as you can.
Wow.
I got to redeem them through like the Movies Anywhere, that kind of thing, and access all that on Vudu.
Yeah, on Vudu or whatever. If you add iTunes to your Movies Anywhere thing, those will show up. And one of the cool things that I just found out is Apple will upgrade your movies for free.
Okay.
I had when I redeemed the Blu-ray copy of Inception, for instance, that was back in the day when they were just starting to do digital copies with Blu-rays. The digital copy was standard def. Well, I checked the Apple TV app on the Roku and signed in, and lo and behold, my copy of Inception was now 4K HDR.
Okay.
So that's something to check out.
Yeah, I don't know if Hulu has any 4K stuff. They don't make it obvious.
I don't think they do yet. Well, maybe Handmaid's Tale, a new season, might be in 4K.
Maybe. But yeah, the other thing is the tier they give you has the ads in it, which I don't really care about too much. But there's one of the political presidential candidates that is advertising on Hulu. I wanted to see if you guys could figure out who it is.
Is it Michael Bloomberg?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's the one that's on Hulu.
Yep. And YouTube and basically everywhere else.
Yeah, that yeah. seems to be the little Democratic darling of my son's friends.
It's like, of course, this is the guy that's paying a lot of money to Hulu to put their and stuff out
there. It's probably
there.
Because they're seeing it on YouTube. I swear to God, that's probably why they didn't even know about Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah. There's lots of Hulu ads on Hulu. They advertise their shows, I guess. Which I guess is more relevant than a lot of the other stuff that's on there.
Yeah, but that's annoying. That was one of the reasons why, like...
Mm-hmm. One or two of them was like, oh, Amazon I didn't know that Prime. Was on there. Which is an indictment of how hard it is to find stuff on Hulu at times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Though I do look at some of their categories and like, oh, here's like all of the old shows I used to watch in the 90s on Nick or whatever. There's a lot of that good stuff. Doug is on there. I don't know which Doug it is, so if it's Nickelodeon Doug or Disney Doug. Cause one of those is good. The other one, not so much. But yeah, so far I'm so good with that. They got some neat movies on there that I'm going to check out. And I'm going to check out some of the original stuff as well. I guess the new Hillary Clinton documentary is supposed to be on Hulu. Just went through, I think, Cannes Film Festival. So maybe check that out. But yeah, I've been streaming this week. Let's see, Sunday. I took off Sunday because I just wasn't feeling it. But Tuesday I streamed. What was it? Hold on a second. I'm going to double check what it was. I think it was Pinball FX 3. No, that was Saturday. I did Kentucky Route Zero. That's right. Because that was finally out the fifth act. So I was playing that, the PC version, since I found out I bought that June 2013.
Was it like the season pass or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Act 2 came out then. I looked up the schedule. It was weird. January 2013 was the first act. Act 2 was July. It's like June or July somewhere.
They've been in no hurry with this.
Yeah. The third act was, I think, 2014 January. So kind of getting like a 6-month pace there. And I think act four was like 2017. And then almost a 7-year anniversary of the release of the first act, they released act five. So they kind of condensed all this stuff. There's like interstitial like episodes that go between each of the acts that they've kind of placed so that you'll go from act one into the first like interstitial to the second act, that kind of thing. They have a funny part of the menu where it's called multiplayer. They have like a multiplayer suggestion for that, which is pretty cool. Which is basically like look at play the game, and if you see something going on that reminds you of one of your friends that's with you, you pass the controller to them. Like, you don't say anything, just pass it over. It's like, oh yeah, it's kind of neat. It's like nothing in game that's actual multiplayer. It's just sort of a way of like passing around. But I was playing that game on a stream, and it was like really taxing my CPU for some reason. And if you don't know, this game is like very 2D, simplistic graphics. So I was like, why the fuck is this taxing so much? And then I looked in the corner at the FPS counter. It was going from about 420 frames per second to 480 frames per second, which is the first I ever heard of any game going doing that much. So I was like, oh, okay. And I turned on VSync, and it got to 60, and everything was okay after that, which is the first time I ever heard VSync being... like fixing the frame rate for a game. Usually it's a good way to kind of make a frame rate a little bit more unstable, I guess, at times. But yeah, I got into Act 2 over the course of that stream, so that worked out pretty well. And that's a lot of fun. That game's pretty cool. It's kind of a spooky story. And because they started writing it in 2013, it's kind of about... a Midwestern town, that is like still reeling from the recession. So there's a lot of that kind of feeling of like all these like rundown areas, things like that that aren't doing so well anymore. At least in that first act, and then the second act, you finally find Kentucky Route Zero and use it to try and, because you're just a delivery driver trying to deliver this package to a street that you can't find. You find out you got to take this weird Kentucky Route Zero, which is like a supernatural highway, I guess, the way it's presented.
And it's so like, you know, it's like the, at the, you know, at the old abandoned bridge, hang a left and then get off the gravel road and go over to this old guy's farm who's dead now. And I mean, it's kind of like how people used to give directions.
Yeah. And at a certain point, you're kind of started wondering, it's like, wait, are these actual people that I'm talking to? You get thinking like, oh, maybe there's ghost. You're like, it's about talking to ghosts kind of thing. And so you kind of get to this place that can potentially tell you like where this address is. And it's like a bureaucracy place. Somewhat, and there's a silly part of it where it's like there's five floors. You're trying to find the right office, and there's like it's describing you what's on each floor, and it's like, oh, it's floor three, bears. It's just a floor with bears on it, which is pretty fun. I went there. They're just chilling out. They just look at you as you walk around, then just leave because you got no business with the bears. So, yeah, I want to keep playing that because that's really well done. There's points where it changes from like a an adventure game into like more of a text adventure game. When you get to certain places where they just don't have any visuals for it. And so it's like, oh, you're in this museum and you have, you know, a hallway ahead of you. You have this glass door to the side of you and there's this book. You can like click through and like interact with different things, but all you're getting is text. And it's it's not anything like Zork where you can die or anything like that. So it's just you exploring this place and learning
about
the area.
Which game is this again?
Kentucky Route Zero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so there's like an air of like maybe some supernatural, spooky ghost stuff to it, but also kind of learning about this like, I mean, obviously it's in Kentucky, like this kind of Midwestern town where people have had a hard time, I guess, from what I've heard people talk about the later episodes. So yeah, I'm going to keep checking this out, and it doesn't seem to be super long. Like the first act is an hour long. But yeah, so far so good. It's out now on consoles, all the consoles and PC. $25 I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good price for that. Yesterday I streamed Cuphead because it was on sale on the Switch, and I was like, I want to stream some of this. And it took me like 35 minutes to beat the first boss I was playing.
Oh yeah.
It was the clown dude that blows up his head.
Yeah.
On the like the carnival ride kind of thing. That was
the first boss you encountered?
Yeah, I'd played it before, but
oh, okay.
I came back to it on the second island.
I gotcha.
So I was playing those bosses there. So I beat that one eventually. Then I beat the one dude that was in the shmup level. Not the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I forget what it is.
Was it the mummy dude?
The birdhouse.
Oh,
birdhouse
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Which wasn't too hard. Mm. It was just trying to get a hold of that last part where he's just like has no feathers and just dudes shooting pills at you.
Yeah.
That's just real annoying. What else? I beat two of the others, not the dragon ones, like the last one I have to do. Mm-hmm. And I was trying some of the other, like, the run-and-gun stages. There's the one where you have to constantly flip from top to bottom. And that was just pissing me off by a certain point.
Mm.
Yeah, that game's still a lot of fun. It looks amazing still. But, yeah, I hope they still haven't released that expansion, have they?
Not yet.
Okay, that must have got delayed or something.
Yeah, that got delayed till the summer.
All right. Maybe I'll beat it by then. Definitely not doing some of the achievements that are like, get S ranks on all the bosses. Like, no.
Yeah, that shit is impossible.
Yeah, especially on one of the bosses I beat. It's like, because like when it grades you, it's like, oh, you got to do 3 parries. And like, there's like 4 opportunities to parry. Mm-hmm. And I missed like 3 of them. So I had to like fucking start all over again if I wanted to get like, I got an A on one of the bosses. So that wasn't too bad. But it's like some of those, like, geez, you guys need to calm down with this. Mm. Now there's like an easier version for each boss if you want. But yeah, that game's still fun. But yeah, we're going to be streaming Saturday and Sunday. We're going to try and do before the Super Bowl. And Phil, if you're available, I was thinking about doing a Doom stream on Sunday.
Okay.
I'm going to call it the Doomper Bowl. I came up with the name before I came up with the what we'd actually do. I figured we'll play the expansion stuff they put out, the mod stuff for Doom.
Could play Sigil and wish you hadn't.
Yeah. Sigil and the other two that are on there. Hmm. I want to make sure we won't get trophies because they need to do that. but yeah, we'll not be streaming next Tuesday, but I will be streaming on Thursday doing a birthday stream. Hmm. I think the next weekend as well will be all good. Just missing Tuesday because I got to work late. I almost was going to miss Thursday, but then my schedule got changed, so I was getting out 2 hours earlier. I was like, all right, now I can stream.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know if this worked out well with the Cuphead stream. So I'd probably die like 70 or 80 times in 2 hours.
Mm. Well, that's okay. Everybody dies in Cuphead.
Yeah.
That fucking clown. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Because I would occasionally, when he gets on top of the horse, I would get stuck under him with the car coming at me. I just fucking die. I also didn't use the dash as much as I should have. I could have maybe got out of it that way. But I kept trying to jump under him. I was like, no, you can't do this, you dumbass. But that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon? Oh, no, wait. I play more Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Yeah.
You know the Yamcha meme?
Yeah.
They do that in the game. This is between the Namek Saga and the Future Trunks Saga.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like an intermission to kind of chill out and hang around while you're waiting for Goku to come back. And so I was doing a mission where I think Puar asked you to check up on Yamcha. And he was on date or something like that. And I guess he'd been dating 2 girls.
Mm-hmm.
Telling them like they're the only one, and so obviously they're not. They catch them and pull out red ribbon robots that he gave them for personal defense. So they have to help him fight the robots. One of them grabs him at the end and explodes, and he's lying on the ground like in the death scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are like, "Oh, he's so pathetic." It's like just talking major shit about him. Like, oh, he's a loser, we're leaving. That kind of thing. Then he gets up, and Poir's like, oh, I thought you were dead again. He's like, no, I've been training with King Kai, I'm strong enough now. It's like, alright, you dumbass. There's also another side quest where he wants to test out how much stronger he's gotten, so he challenges you, which was me with Gohan, Vegeta, and Piccolo. Like, we wiped the floor with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you dumbass. But yeah, that's been fun. And there's lots of stupid side quests so far. And it's been really nice. I got the Dragon Balls. At a certain point, they let you just collect the Dragon Balls to wish for either orbs or money. Or I think you can get... you can redo boss fights if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, but... getting them is pretty fun. They just show up on the map when you go to one of the areas. You just go pick them up, and that's all that. Works out pretty well. Yeah, how about you, Brandon?
All right, well, first and foremost, those of you don't know, they released a new trailer for the Final Fantasy VII remake. And you know that one part of the game, and I don't mean Aerith dying,
mm-hmm.
I mean the other part of the game that everybody remembers. And sometimes in hazy because they're not entirely sure, like, did I just fucking dream that or did that actually happen in the game? The honeybee segment.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely. I might have been high when I played that game, so...
It's the part where you have to get Cloud to cross-dress to sneak into a place.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I will remember. It's still in the game. It's in the remake. And they turned it into a whole fucking song and dance number.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
But, yeah. So, yeah, still playing my new game plus of The Witcher 3. Not really a whole lot to add to that other than the fact that... I still haven't fucking found Ciri, and I forgot how fucking long it takes before you fucking find Ciri in that fucking game. But, yeah, I just helped a bunch of mages escape from Novigrad, and I'm now going to take part in a plot to kill King fucking what's his name? Ranavid. Because he's an asshole.
All right.
Yeah. Radovid. Yeah, that's his name. So yeah, that's more or less what I've been doing. Doing Netflix stuff as well, watching that. Not really much to add there, except that it's really fucking cold. And I know that, like, by Georgia standards, what we consider really fucking cold isn't really that cold to other parts of the world.
No, we're usually wearing short sleeves then.
Yeah, it's like 42 out there right now.
Oh! Okay.
Yeah, like I said.
That would be nice.
Well, I know. I mean, you know, Sunday. It'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And, that's about it. Not really much more to add there. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Nah, I'm done.
All right.
I want to add to the Hulu thing. I have a bad idea of watching Dragon Ball GT.
Mm-hmm.
At least it saves me from paying $20 for the DVD set.
Well, I mean, there's really nothing to see. Like, Dragon Ball GT is basically an abortion from beginning to end.
Yeah, but I want to see it. I want to experience it because I only remember watching like two episodes.
Yeah, you'll watch the first episode and be like, okay, I can do without this.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's that shit.
I'll be an endurance test. I'll have that and I'll make sure I have Kakarot playing. I'll be like, all right, I'll endure it.
Vegeta grew a fucking mustache.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he has a mustache in GT.
Yeah, they gave Vegeta a mustache even though Saiyans don't grow hair.
Yeah.
Trunks and Goten are in high school. Pan's like a little
probably
girl.
Probably dating too, although they don't really come out and say that, but...
Yeah. Like, peel off for actual consequential parts of the story instead of joke characters.
Mm-hmm.
Is there the reasons why Goku is a kid?
Mm-hmm. But, all right. So, anyway, with that being said, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, well, I'm going to talk about a little bit of a... It's more like one of those events where you're like... that can't be fucking real, but it's 100% fucking real. And not only is it 100% fucking real, but it's actually contributed a lot of information to the way that modern neurosurgery and neuropathy is understood today. All right, so I'm going to show you a picture of a gentleman. I'm going to put it here in the chat. Okay. Okay, you see that gentleman there in the picture? Yeah?
Yeah, I see him.
Okay. Okay, the gentleman in this picture, his name was Phineas Gage. Now, as you can probably guess from the, from, you know, the way the picture is presented, this was probably taken some time ago. In fact, this was actually after sometime after 1849. You see what he's holding there? What he's holding there in his hands there?
I can't really make that out, but whatever.
It's okay, so what that is, that big long thing he's holding in his hands, okay, that's called a tamping iron. For those of you who don't know what a tamping iron is, it's basically like a crowbar, but it's longer and it's for use when people are constructing railroads, right? Okay, now, if you look at that picture again, you may notice something else. The fact that he seems to have only one eye, right? You know, he's got like, his left part of his face is, it looks kind of like he's got like some kind of palsy or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, like only one part of his face is working, the other is kind of off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reason for that. Phineas Cage himself was an American railroad construction foreman who managed to survive something that frankly should not have been survivable. That tamping iron that he's holding, yeah, it went through his head. And when I say it went through his head, I don't mean like through the scalp or like maybe even like vertically, like even horizontally. No, it went in like this. From the top of his skull through his jaw.
Ow.
Oh, yeah. It went completely through his head. And it actually ended up destroying much of the left frontal lobe of his brain. Exactly how this happened is basically it went like this. He was directing a work gang that was involved in blasting rock. Because, you know, when you're constructing railroads, you have to do stuff like, you know, clear out land and stuff and, you know, clear out like cliff sides and stuff like that. So he was doing this in Vermont. And they had bored a hole into an outcrop and they had put in some blasting powder and a fuse. And then they used the tamping iron as a way to sort of, amongst other things, to pack, quote, tamp sand, clay, or, you know, whatever they have in there into the hole to sort of seal it before they blow it to kingdom come, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was doing this, and then at some point, sometime around 4:30 p.m. on September 13th, 1848, some of the guys that were working behind him may have called his name, they said something, maybe there had been like a fight broken out or something. And whatever, either way, what it was, it ended up meaning that he ended up basically losing focus on the task at hand. Quoting from Wikipedia, looking over his right shoulder and inadvertently bringing his head in line with the blast hole, Gage opened his mouth to speak. In that same instant, the tamping iron sparked against the rock, which, remember, had been filled up by that point with a shit ton of TNT and gunpowder, and it's believed that there may not have been any sand in there when he was getting ready to tamp the stuff in there. And so the spark ignited the powder, and the powder exploded. The tamping iron, which was about 32 millimeters in diameter and about 3 feet 7 inches long and weighing about 13 and a quarter pounds, entered the left side of Gage's face in an upward direction just forward of the angle of the lower jaw. It then continued upward outside the upper jaw and possibly fractured the cheekbone. It passed behind the left eye through the left side of the brain, then completely out the top of the skull through the frontal bone.
Yeah, luckiest guy ever.
Yeah, here's a cartoon recreation of that event.
No thanks.
Yeah. So, as you can imagine, wasn't exactly very pretty.
No.
Now here's the other thing you need to know. That image I showed you where the thing was like still lodged in the skull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't stay there. Mm-hmm. It literally rocketed right through his head.
Well, I would imagine, yeah. It's like a 13-pound projectile. That it
yeah, in fact, it ended up landing about 80 feet away, smeared with both blood and pieces of his brain. He was thrown onto his back, in which he experienced some convulsions because, well, fuck, wouldn't you?
Right?
Now, here's the freaky part. You ready for the freaky part? Within a few minutes, he was actually speaking again, and he actually managed to walk with little assistance, and he sat upright in an ox cart for over 3/4 of a mile to his lodges in town. About 30 minutes after the accident, Edward H. Williams, who was the local physician, actually greeted him as he was still sitting in the cart, and this is quoted from his own writings. "When I drove up, he said, 'Doctor, here is business enough for you. I first noticed the wound upon the head before I alighted from my carriage, the pulsations of the brain being very distinct. The top of the head appeared somewhat like an inverted funnel, as if some wedge-shaped body had passed from below upward. Mr. Gage, during the time I was examining this wound, was relating the manner in which he was injured to the bystanders.'"
That's pretty metal.
Yeah, like, there's all these other folks who's, like, who's seeing this dude. He's got, like, a giant hole in his skull and his jaw, and the thing is probably, like, bleeding like a geyser, and he's just looking around these folks. He's like, "Yeah, I did that to myself." I did not believe Mr. Gage's statement at the time, but thought he was deceived. Mr. Gage persisted in saying that the bar went through his head. Mr. Gage got up and then vomited. The effort of vomiting pressed on about half a teacup of the brain through the exit hole at the top of his skull, which fell upon the floor.
Oh,
yeah, he actually started vomiting out the top of his fucking head.
Oh, my God.
Harlow took charge of the case around 16 p.m., "You will excuse me for remarking here that the picture was presented was, to one accustomed to military surgery, truly terrific. But the patient bore his sufferings with the most heroic firmness. He recognized me at once and said he hoped he was not much hurt. He seemed to be perfectly conscious, but was getting exhausted from the hemorrhage. His person and the bed on which he was laid were literally one gore of blood." This is like a fucking dark comedy.
It's like something, all right.
Yeah. Let's see. "With Williams' assistance, Harlow shaved the scalp around the region of the tamping iron's exit, then removed coagulated blood, small bone fragments, and, quote, 1 ounce or more of protruding brain. After probing for foreign bodies and replacing 2 large detached pieces of bone, Harlow closed the wound with adhesive straps, leaving it partially open for drainage. The entrance wound of the cheek was bandaged only loosely for the same reason. A wet compress was applied, and then a nightcap, then further bandaging to secure these dressings." You guys know what a nightcap is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically what they did is they took one of those, they tied it fairly firmly around his chin, and then applied another round of bandages. Harlow also dressed Gage's hands and forearms, and the reason is because in the explosion, he also got some burn injuries as well.
He got considerably more effed up.
Yeah, and ordered that Gage's head be kept elevated. Late that evening, Harlow noted mind clear, constant agitation of his legs being alternately retracted and extending like the shafts of a falling mill. Says he does not care to see his friends as he quote, shall be at work in a few days. God damn, this guy was hardcore.
He was not going to stop.
No. Okay. So, eventually, yes, he did eventually recover. They did notice that for the first couple of years after this incident, it actually, the things that you would expect would have been hampered weren't actually hampered that much, but there was some considerable effects. It did a good chunk of change on his personality and behavior. Gage at that point had been known as a very talkative and jolly fellow. by that point afterwards, he kind of became very quiet and sort of not necessarily reclusive, but more introverted. Mm-hmm. So much so that when people who remembered him met him again a couple of years later, they said it was almost like he was a different person entirely.
And, you know, I've heard people say that with people who have, you know, concussions, big traumatic brain trauma or traumatic head injuries. Yeah. Yeah.
But as for stuff like, you know, walking, getting around, speaking, after the first couple years, he basically had more or less completely recovered by that point. He did occasionally suffer from headaches, you know, off and on over the years, migraines in particular.
No joke.
Yeah, no shit.
Vomited out his damn brain.
But he ended up passing away peacefully in his sleep about 12 years later at the age of 36. It said that in later life he was far more functional and socially far more adapted. A social recovery hypothesis suggests that his work as a stagecoach driver in Chile fostered his recovery by providing daily structure, which allowed him to regain lost social and personal skills. So, you know, he did end up basically being able to find a, you know, he was able to eventually pass away. Unfortunately, I said I passed away in his sleep. That's not entirely true. He unfortunately suffered from a severe fit. And he died what's known as status epilepticus. Yeah. So, like I said, most of it he was, you know, he survived the majority of it. And he more or less was able to leave a more pretty much functional life. But yeah, he did suffer with some repercussions for the rest of his days.
That's pretty remarkable, though.
Yeah, extremely. After he died, his family decided to donate his head to science. And both his actual skull, along with the tamping iron that went through it, which he ended up keeping with him. Did I mention that? He kept that fucking thing with him for the rest of his life. That's why he's got it in his hands in that picture. He basically, it became his constant companion afterwards.
Well, and, you know, I could see why he would do that.
Yeah. And so here is a photograph that is taken of his skull next to the tamping iron, showing, you know, the places. So yeah.
Good.
But yeah, that was Phineas Gage, the man who suffered an explosive fucking hot iron spike going straight through his head and survived.
That's one in a million right there.
Yeah, that is a goddamn miracle. Mm. That is one of those instances where the stars aligned just fucking right so that, you know, this dude was able to walk away from a what would otherwise be a catastrophically fatal injury. Hmm. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. And it's because of him now that, you know, that case that people have been able to, you know, make great advances in, you know, the study of neuropathy and neurology. Hmm. All right. So now that that's out of the way, let's then move on, as we always do, with the show proper. And as always, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And our asshole of the week is Commerce Secretary and known fraudster Wilbur Ross, who said the coronavirus might actually help bring jobs back to the U.S. from China.
Yeah, you can go into bag of dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
No.
No.
It's almost like basically everyone in the Trump administration is not fucking qualified for their job.
Yeah. Yeah, he said here, well, first of all, every American's heart has to go out to the victims of the coronavirus. So I don't want to talk about a victory lap over a very unfortunate, very malignant disease. The fact is it does give businesses yet another thing to consider when they go through their review of their supply chain. Also, it goes on to say, on top of all the other things, because you had SARS, you had the African swine virus there, now you have this. It's another risk factor that people need to take into account. So I think it will help accelerate the return of jobs to North America, some to the U.S., probably some to Mexico as well. It's like, oh, you think it's not coming here?
It's here. It's here, mofos. Yeah, there's two Canada, in Illinois it's... now.
And leave it to a fucking sociopath to make that goddamn connection.
This guy just needs to be Magoo and just get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Don't you remember that's the problem with Magoo? You can't fucking kill him.
No, but you push him into the wrong direction. He'll just keep wandering and stumble into a plane that takes him to China, maybe. Get him a private flight.
Fucking hell. God damn it. Yeah, well, fortunately, that's just our asshole of the week. We do have a hero of the week. And it's just one of those examples of, small kindnesses. A driver who works for FedEx actually pitched in and decided to shovel a porch and walkway for a homeowner.
They caught it on their video doorbell thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was delivering in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. He's dropping off a package for their home last Thursday. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, then he saw that there was a shovel next to the door and decided he was going to help shovel the porch and all that. Mm-hmm. The walkway and going to make it a little bit better. Which not a very often thing you see from delivery drivers of protecting the package.
No.
Yeah, I got a package FedEx, a couple weeks ago when it was raining, and it's like, luckily it was just under enough cover that it wasn't too bad, but it's like there's no plastic bag around it or anything. Which I love complaining about that sort of shit on Twitter because the companies have their searches up for any mention of them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, how can we help? I was like, I don't want to fucking talk to you. I don't even respond to them. I think I just blocked it. I was like, no, I don't. That's like the worst thing about Twitter is you can't just vent about shitty companies or anything because they have their automated CS contact you. Like, how can we make this better? It's like, no, go fuck off. But yeah, this guy is one of the good drivers. He's actually thoughtful and helped out a little bit after a snowy night, I guess.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising to me because these guys are on like a really, really tight schedule.
Yeah. They really are.
Yeah. All right, so yeah. Thank goodness for small kindness, right?
Right.
Yep.
All right, well. All right. Unfortunately, we can't avoid it any longer. Sunday afternoon last week, Kobe Bryant, one of his daughters, and seven other people died in a helicopter crash in California.
Yep.
He had... what was he on the way to doing?
They were going to, Mama Sports Academy in Thousand Oaks, California for a youth basketball event.
Ah.
I think some of the other people on the helicopter were sort of her teammates and their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's really nothing to add to that. It's just fucking sad.
Yeah.
I don't think people really understand what the impact that athletes like Kobe Bryant have, not just on American youth, but the world at large.
Yeah, he's
especially in Africa. I had a friend who went to South Africa a few years ago, and he couldn't count the number of young kids that were wearing, like, Kobe Bryant jerseys and T-shirts. And this wasn't hand-me-down shit either.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's kind of a child of the world. He was born in Philly, but went with his dad who played overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he spoke Italian. Yeah, they moved to Italy when he was a kid, when he was six. So he could keep playing professional basketball over there. After 2 years, they moved to out to other places in Italy. Then I think they might have been in Australia for a bit, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, kind of growing up like that, he kind of was more aware of the world and more of a student of the world and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, was one of the first high schoolers to go straight to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Got drafted by Charlotte and traded to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Became a big star.
Yeah. Ended up breaking Shaq's record I think it was number of goals in a single game.
Yeah.
He was an amazing player. It's true.
Yeah.
And that dude, like, he wasn't perfect, but he never forgot where he came from.
Yeah.
And he was a lot more, empathetic and, knowledgeable than a lot of people were willing to give him credit for.
Yeah.
And
he's definitely had mistakes in his life, like
a whole
sexual assault case
in
Colorado.
And, yeah, and the only reason he managed to beat that was because the NBA threw money at the victim.
Yeah.
Although I do want to point this out because I think it's kind of a shitty thing to do. We all know that Kobe wasn't perfect, and we all know about that shit. Give people time to fucking mourn before you start poking your ass into it going, well, actually, seriously, fucking hell.
Responding to tweets with that kind of shit.
Yeah. Look, it was a terrible thing to do. I know that. I fucking know that. But this dude and one of his kids and a bunch of their friends just fucking died. Give him at least a day.
They were posting a supposed video of the helicopter crash. Like, first off, who wants to watch that? And two, it wasn't even from that because it was in the desert. It's like this was in L.A. In a grassy area. It's like, this is just fake shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just people that want to rain on the parade, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just always annoying whenever anything happens like that. But yeah, like the TNT crew, NBA crew that they have, did a really good special on,
mm-hmm.
it was Tuesday, they canceled postponed the Lakers-Clippers game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have this little special with a bunch of those guys and others from the league. Shaq was on there very much kind of heartbroken because there's the whole like supposed beef between them. The reason why Shaq left the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
Which the media plays up, but I don't think really they cared about any of that. But yeah, he talked about how he hadn't spoke to Kobe since the last game he played.
Yeah.
For his career, where he told him, asked him to score 50.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. Then he scored 60, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the notion of, not taking friendships for granted and
mm-hmm.
actually talking to them and telling them how much they mean to them more often. Like that he needs to be better about keeping up with his friends
mm-hmm.
instead of just, expecting them to stay around, which is definitely a good thing to say. Like Jerry West was also on there, who was running the Lakers, I think, at the time that Kobe came into the league. He was talking about, I think in 2004, he was getting ready to potentially go into free agency and leave, looking to play for the Clippers, I think was where he was looking to go. And Jerry West, who wasn't even with the Lakers at that time, talked about how he convinced him not to by saying he didn't want him to play for that man.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Donald Sterling. And managed to have that much of an influence on Kobe to kind of convince him to stay with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of thing. And he was just getting to the point now in retirement to I think one of his film companies, recent like movies or documentaries. I think it was a documentary. Won awards at like the Oscars last year, that kind of thing. So he very much had like a promising post-playing career doing that kind of stuff. Yeah, and yeah, his daughter as well was just getting like getting ready to graduate from high school here in the next year or so, potentially go to college and all that. But yeah, that's that was his oldest daughter too, so. You know, big blow, especially since they just had a kid, like, last year. So, yeah, his wife, Vanessa, put out a statement the other day. Was basically thanking everybody for their well wishes. And I think she was talking about they were going to set up a fund to help out the other families that lost people. Kind of a good thing, not just... She knows, like, they're well taken care of. They don't have any worries on the financial front. But the other families may not be so lucky. And they're also making... They're going to do like a tribute to him at the All-Star Game coming up here in a couple weeks. And doing some weird stuff with that. Like the fourth quarter, I think it said, is they're essentially going to turn off the scoreboard. And like count how many baskets they get, I guess, and... it's real weird stuff, like add 24 to it for his uniform. It's like really weird the way they're going to do it. Yeah, the teams will compete to win each of the first three quarters, all of which will start with the score 0-0 and be 12 minutes long. Start the fourth quarter. The game clock will be turned off and a final target score will be set. Final target score will be determined by taking the leading team's total cumulative score through three quarters and adding 24 points. 24 representing the late Kobe Bryant's uniform number. That's like, okay, it's just weird, but sure. But yeah, it's had a big influence through all of sports. Saw plenty of football and baseball players and hockey players talking about him.
Yeah. Also, remember that whole Mr. Peanut thing that we talked about last week?
Yeah. They canceled that.
They canceled that.
Because, yeah, having a fund funeral is generally not going to be a good idea because people die all the time. But, hey, good luck with that, planners. You've cut off your marketing character for nothing now.
But he wasn't going to stay dead.
No,
but they went through all the trouble of killing him. To be like, whoops, never mind.
Alright, well, now we move on from that awful tragedy to a fucking tragedy in progress. The impeachment trial. So, pretty much it more or less wrapped up this week with the final vote coming next Wednesday. Basically, both sides were given about a total of like 24 hours to be able to make their cases. Trump, of course, his defense attorneys, you know, Jay Sokolow and Alan Dershowitz, made their own arguments and basically made the exact arguments you thought they were going to make. It's not a crime. Impeachable. If it was impeachable, it's not a crime. And if it was a crime, you know, he did it for the good of the union, blah, blah,
They had some of them here, like their defense attorney, Michael Purpura, stated, not a single witness testified that the president himself said that there was any connection between any investigations and security assistance, a presidential meeting, or anything else.
Really?
His careful wording is technically true, but only because Trump himself blocked Bolton and other witnesses from testifying. And also the Bolton book that's supposed to be coming out later this year was a big topic. Of which, like, you want witnesses, here's the witness. It's like,
That won't be happening because they voted that down this afternoon. So
51-49. You know, you play the America's favorite game show of Hope, Susan Collins, flips her votes and be disappointed when she doesn't.
Yeah.
I think it's the John Oliver joke, but yeah, they had a couple days there of taking questions, a lot of stuff you would expect. A lot of people in the GOP basically saying, we know he did this, but who gives a shit, basically.
Yeah.
You know, which is a stupid response to any of this, of an actual trial. Like you go and drunk drive and you tell the judge, like, I know I did this, but who gives a shit, really?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to give you, he's going to let you off for that.
Nope.
He's going to probably give you a worse sentence because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you admitted to it.
Yeah.
But like Marco Rubio and plenty of others basically saying that same thing. It's like, okay, who's your competition for your next re-election?
Yeah.
Cause
which what? Is about, oh, a little under 11, 10, 11 months away now.
Yeah,
so
for many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Rand Paul deserves a special shout-out.
Yeah, because he tried to fucking out the whistleblower.
Yeah, by submitting it as a question to get Chief Justice John Roberts to read it.
He said, yeah.
No, we're not fucking do this.
And then he stormed out of the chamber like a baby.
Yeah, and then he decided to just tweet it out.
Yeah.
And probably went and beat up his next-door neighbor again.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he should be arrested for threatening the guy, because mm-hmm. that's basically what he's doing.
Yeah.
Putting his name out there so people can figure out where he lives. You know, it's not like they've made him out to be like an enemy of the state,
mm-hmm.
the Republican Party. So, you know, how about we just stop dealing with their bullshit and tell them, hey, you guys need to be put to task for this shit you're doing. Because that's not how the witness law, the whistleblower laws are supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's basically been a huge shit show, and I could just read you the trending tags on Twitter just so you can see what's going on. Like a hashtag impeachment trial sham, hashtag rip America, hashtag GOP cowards, hashtag rip GOP.
Mm-hmm.
CPAC is trending because I guess Mitt Romney is one of the people voting for the witness stuff. Mm-hmm. He got uninvited from CPAC. The CPAC conference, which is a hell of a thing to get uninvited from. Which, if you don't know, CPAC is the
Conservative Political Action Committee. Yeah.
Yeah. Their big conference they have where Trump and any shitty person in the government goes. Which I saw somebody put a good tweet here. Breaking CPAC endorses cancel culture. let's see. 2012 GOP presidential nominee banned from CPAC for wanting to hear what annual CPAC speaker John Bolton has to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of good stuff.
Hmm.
Just so you know, like, people calling them out. What's going on? So, yeah.
Hey.
It's like, hey, you want a dictatorship? This is how we get it.
Yep.
Not holding anybody to task.
Yeah.
The shit they do.
So, but if we have a free still have free elections by November, I really think all of these people do not realize just how big of a fucking mistake they just made.
You just made your opponent's number one marketing point.
Yep.
Really easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let me tell you, a lot of those long runners like McConnell, they are not doing well numbers-wise in their state. Like, Mitch McConnell's numbers in Kentucky have dropped like 20 points.
Which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Fucking Lisa Murkowski is... Hers has dropped like 15. Susan Collins is Susan Collins. So... we also got some Senate questions that happened summer day. We already did that. We talked about Rand Paul. And then finally, this afternoon, the Senate finally voted to confirm that they're not allowing witnesses in the trial.
Yeah.
Basically saying we're not really having a trial.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, yeah.
And keep in mind, that's going to, that vote, and I'll say it for the third time, that vote is happening the day after President Trump has to give us the State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's going to go real well.
4 p.m. on Wednesday.
Yeah. And he gives the State of the Union on Tuesday. So
that's about when I'm going into work, so I won't have to listen to any of that shit. Yeah. That'll be good.
I'm like,
I'll just get home later and be like, all right, just let's put up maybe I'll watch Dragon Ball GT then. Just like, all right, let's watch a real shit show here.
Yeah. Can somebody just like throw a shoe at him or something?
God, that's
where's Mike Myers?
Too easy.
Mm. Yeah.
He's just
something, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Throw a steak at him.
Well, then he'll have to run and catch it.
Steak, not the food kind, like a steak through the heart kind.
Steak. A Trump steak.
Well, then that would just kill him straight, because those things are about... That's the idea, I guess, yeah.
Mm.
All right.
It's gonna happen one way or another. Might as well do it by the Trump name.
Yeah.
Done in by his own bullshit.
Yeah. Well, next up in bullshit, the Supreme Court this week voted 5-4 to allow the Trump administration to deny green cards and public charge rule.
Hey, a wealth test.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that the little poem on the Statue of Liberty doesn't advocate for.
Yeah.
We only want the immigrants that can take care of themselves. It's like, why are they coming here then?
In good news, however, it looks like Bernie's the front runner.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that is going to be a fucking knockout, drag down campaign.
It's a fist fight between him and Biden.
But they're going to let Bloomberg join in the debates and everything, and everybody's saying that so they could take some of Bernie's base away. That way Biden ends up being in the front.
Yeah, that's possible.
It could go down that way.
It could. We don't know for sure, and we won't know until it happens.
If we end up with Biden versus Trump...
We're fucked.
Yeah, you're fucked forever.
We're going to have to set up a situation like the end of Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
It's two old men just fucking fighting each other on top of a big ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, which one of you survives this, I guess, gets to be president.
Yeah. Anyway, in other awful news, the coronavirus has officially been declared a health emergency by the World Health Organization with at least 213 confirmed dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that number is probably 10 times as big.
Probably.
Because now they're telling people in China that if you criticize the government for the coronavirus response, you're going to be killed.
Yeah.
They're not even making any bones about it.
Yeah, and that's sort of their sort of stock response for catastrophic shit like this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really nothing to add to that.
Lots of airlines are canceling or lessening the amount of flights they have going in and out of China.
Mm-hmm. The U.S. government itself gave out a warning, says stop all non-essential traveling to China.
Yeah.
All that, yeah.
And I guess I mentioned here the last few times they've put out this declaration was Ebola. Mm-hmm. In 2014 and 2019, the Zika virus, polio, 2014, I guess,
it
rose for a bit there because of assholes, the swine flu in 2009.
Hmm.
Death toll estimates ranging from 123,000 to 575,400.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a range. Could be 450,000 more than what the lowest number is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I posted a video on my Facebook. You should probably watch it at some point if you can.
Yeah.
It kind of offers a lot of context as to how this could happen. And basically, it's like the fact that it's happening in the Lunar New Year is probably the absolute worst time that it could have happened.
It was. Absolutely.
Because everybody is traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which means, what's the game that's about starting up diseases that propagate all over the world?
Plague Inc. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
They need to have a Lunar New Year update. They added one reason.
Didn't they
fake
tweet
news.
Something?
Yeah, it's like, this is not an accurate model of how the coronavirus spreads.
Yeah, well, and they said stop using our models.
Stop using this as an actual scientific model.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think their last big expansion was a fake news expansion.
Mm. Mm.
All right. Makes sense.
Fitting.
Yeah. Well, right. Whatever the case is, I hope they kind of get it under control because this is bad. It doesn't matter what your politics are. This is just a shitty situation.
Yeah. Although I will say, because, you know, since I frequent left-wing circles, you will get China sycophants that'll show up, and they will basically try to, like, you know, okay, and I will say this for the record. Because of the coronavirus, there has been some awful racist shit that has happened against Asian people, especially in this country.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. God damn it, again?
Kids getting beat up, people, like, getting chased off of buses, shit like that.
Yeah.
But bringing up any criticisms about how China is handling this, especially considering the fact that they're kind of the reason this got out of hand in the first place, because they absolutely fucking refused to actually admit it was happening until it was too late.
Yeah.
Then only opened up about it after the fact. That doesn't mean you're racist against Chinese people.
No, just means you disagree
stupidity.
With how the Chinese government handled it, which,
yeah,
if you're in China, is a crime. So
yeah, so, you know, next person who accuses me of xenophobia is getting a fucking punch in the head. Just, I'm fucking sick of it.
For the record, most Chinese people don't eat bats, so fuck.
No, off. They do not.
No,
look, I know the stereotype about the Chinese is that they'll eat anything, but. Mm. Yeah, no, they don't eat bats.
Yeah.
They do not.
Yeah, China's made a lot of stupid decisions over the last 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Like their one-child policy.
Well, that
created a lot of fucked up situations.
Yeah, I mean, it was you can understand the logic behind it, but they got the wrong people to actually construct it. You don't get fucking military scientists trying to come up with population control policies.
No.
That just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And
for the record, the one-child policy was not created by Mao Zedong. It happened after he died. Hmm. So he's not actually responsible for that one. Yeah. A lot of shit he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one he is not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was created out of a whole weird panic that was happening around that time.
Yeah.
Of overpopulation being a potential threat to the world.
Yeah. And, I mean, China is the most populous country on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. In more awful news, the New Orleans Saints, it was been revealed that they had been helping the local area's Roman Catholic Church dodging accusations during the sexual abuse crisis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it was just they were helping with public relations, which is already pretty bad.
Yeah.
But then they're helping, let's see, this goes beyond public relations.
Mm-hmm.
Accusing Saints of issuing misleading statements saying their work for the Archdiocese involved only messaging and handling media inquiries as part of the 2018 release of the clergy names. So they wrote, the Saints appear to have had a hand in determining which names should or should not have been included on the pedophile list.
Mm-hmm.
In order to fulfill this role, the Saints must have known the specific allegations of sexual abuse against a priest, made a judgment call about whether those allegations by a particular victim against a named priest were, in its opinion, legitimate enough to warrant being included.
Mm-hmm.
They added, it cannot now be disputed that the Saints had an actual involvement in the creation of the pedophile list.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, the NFL doesn't like politics. Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a thing to get involved with.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
I feel bad for the players and the coaches that have nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is all the people at the top.
Yeah.
Yep. Dragging everybody's name through the mud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just ironic the team named the Saints.
Yeah.
Involved in all this shit.
Yeah. Speaking of dragging shit through the mud, Brexit just happened.
Yep, they Brexited.
Good fucking luck to them.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, as you can expect, both Scotland and the people of Northern Ireland are exactly not happy.
No.
No.
Scotland is thinking about putting up another independence referendum. And, well, Northern Ireland may have to worry about the fucking checkpoints again.
Mm. Yeah. God. We don't need that shit going on again.
Yeah. No. I mean,
didn't like the world learn?
Yeah, one fucking pipe bomb in London was enough. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I want to make clear, the whole Irish situation is specifically Britain's fault.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, as bad as the IRA got, and they fucking did some awful shit, still doesn't compare to what Britain did to the Irish.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, let me put it this way. Do you know my ancestry, my ethnic makeup is Scottish, Irish, and Scotch-Irish. And there's a reason for that. Because when the Duke of Orange invaded Ireland and forced all the Roman Catholics across the River Shannon, well, that was more Cromwell than anything, but they then brought in a bunch of new Protestants to fill in the empty spaces. A lot of those were Scotch heritage. They became the Scotch-Irish. Hmm. So I have all three of those. Hmm. Also that and Native American.
Yeah.
No alcoholism in my family! I'm kidding. It is a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
But yeah, I told some of my friends in the UK, you know, Americans, we kind of had to, we weren't really able to learn our lesson until we actually voted Trump in and actually had to face the ramifications of that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it looks like the people of the UK will have to endure the same.
Yeah.
Very likely.
It's like, yeah. It's like raising a kid. You know, you can tell them not to stick their finger in the electric socket, but until they actually do it.
Yeah. There's two kinds of children in the world. One who will not put their hand on a hot stove because their parents told them, don't put your hand on that stove, it's hot. And then there's the other kind of kid who will hear their parents say, don't put your hands on the stove, they're hot, and then put their fucking hand on it anyway and then end up in the burn unit. That's,
That's the world at this point.
Oh, also has to be mentioned that Britain's entire history is one of looking down on everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And now what? And now how does it feel?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how they ended up with a bunch of countries under their rule for so long. Cause they're like,
temporarily.
Yeah, but still they went down to India and it's like, oh, hey, we like this place. It's ours now. Mm. Hey, you got nice jewels. Let's take those for now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For now, meaning
ever.
Until England never exists.
Mm-hmm.
Stops existing.
Yeah. Anyway. In other shit news, Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, was officially indicted on corruption charges hours before meeting President Trump.
Wow, it's catchy. It's worse than coronavirus, it's spreading. Huh?
Mm-hmm. And before they announced their Middle East peace plan, I guess.
Yep.
Which is what, like a two-state solution?
Peace plan.
Yeah, and a really shitty two-state solution at that.
Well, yeah, it's Jared Kushner's fucking plan.
Yeah. Basically, it gives Israel all of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jerusalem's already a city that's kind of split up by religion, kind of.
All right. Yeah, it is.
Right, here's the Jewish section, here's the Christians, here's...
Jerusalem is literally, like, divided up into, like, quarters. There's, like, a Jewish section, there's a Christian section, there's a Muslim section, and I think there's also, like, a Eastern Orthodox section for non-Catholics. Or is it like Occidental or Oriental? I can't remember.
It's probably like there's a Roman Catholic section and the Christian section and then an Eastern Orthodoxy. Hmm. Because Eastern Orthodox Catholicism is probably going to be far, far more popular there.
Yeah, probably. Hmm. Like I know like for fucking like the fucking Church of the Sepulchre, which is the supposedly the church that's built on the place where I can't remember. I think it was built on the place where he was crucified or the area where he was interred in the cave or whatever. But basically, all of the major, like, all three of the major, like, non-Protestant Catholic, non-Protestant Christian sects have, like, a three-way ownership of it. And they're always in each other's hair about who gets to do what at any given time. There's footage on YouTube of, like, a Catholic procession, like, you know, trying to do, like, a, you know, like, the thing with, like, the fucking, what do you call it? The thing where they have the incense in it and they swing it back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
A censer. Yeah, and then they get fucking attacked by a procession of Eastern Orthodox priests. yeah.
I shouldn't laugh about that, but I mean... There's like some Monty Python shit there.
There's like a 2-foot wooden ladder that's been standing on a wooden ledge for like 70 something years, and nobody moves it when it's in eyesight because nobody wants to step on the other place's territory. Yeah, but all right. Next up. John Delaney has officially ended his run for the Democratic nomination. And I'm as surprised as you that he was still in the race.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yep, he, I don't know.
For fuck's sake.
he existed, sure. And now he doesn't. Well, I mean, he exists. He's just not in.
He basically did everything he possibly could to make sure that he didn't end up the front runner by basically just stepping on everyone else's toes.
Hmm. Yeah. He's a guy hanging out in the back, being like, you know, just being quiet. So everybody else yells. It's like, all right. Hey, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm not offensive. I'm completely forgettable, too.
Well, you are offensive, but. Not directly. Just your positions are offensive. But anyway. So yeah, he's gone now. And fuck, who does that leave now? It's Bernie, Warren, Tulsi, Bloomberg, Biden. I think fucking... Not Cory Booker. Cory Booker ended his.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there's at least one I'm forgetting now.
Yeah.
It don't matter. Mm. We know it's going to be one of those four anyway, so.
Yeah, okay, here.
Oh, Andrew Yang, he's still there, too.
Yeah. Mm. Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Warren, Bloomberg, Buttigieg, Yang, Klobuchar, Steyer, and Tulsi Gabbard.
Mm. That's it. Just those nine people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be eight or seven by next week.
Yeah, sounds like a lot, but remember, we started this race with like 24 people. So
I guess there's still Devil Patrick.
Mm. Yeah.
Governor of Massachusetts.
Mm.
Maybe Vermin Supreme is running for it again. I don't know.
I think it's those 10, 11.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so next up. Turkey this week was rocked by a magnitude 6.7 earthquake. 36 people reported killed and over 1,600 people were injured.
Yep.
That's pretty rough.
And it wasn't the only earthquake we had this week either, because another one actually hit the coast of Jamaica.
Hmm.
Which means they're under a tsunami warning at the moment.
Yeah, they got hit.
I think they lifted that. But they did have a tsunami of 0.4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily not too bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, speaking of people posting fake shit, I saw people posting supposed tsunami footage. Mm-hmm. I think it was from the Japanese tsunami a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Of that. It's like, no, it's not Jamaica or any of those countries.
No.
You could see signage that had Japanese on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, stop posting this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty obvious right there.
Yeah. But it's the internet, and you know, the worst part about the internet is that the absolute scum of the earth managed to get a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, luckily it was off the coast, so the damage seems to be pretty minimal for the most part.
Yeah. Let's see. Next up. Oh yeah, this was probably my favorite story from this week. Mike Pompeo. He was being interviewed by a NPR reporter. And about midway through it, the NPR interviewer decided to sort of shift gears to another subject. They brought up the Ukraine, specifically the shit going down with the former ambassador to Ukraine, the one that where, you know, Lev Parnas and others were joking about, you know, whacking her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he got a little pissy, and, you know, they've got parts of it recorded so you can hear him getting a little pissy.
Yeah.
And then the recording ends, and then we found out what happened later. Apparently he got her into his office, and he spent a few minutes basically yelling at her, basically, you know, saying, do you think Americans really give a shit about Ukraine? Then he even, like, got one of his aides to bring in a map of the world that, like, you know, didn't have, like, any demarcations or anything on it, you know, and then he said, okay, now point on this map and show me where Ukraine is. And the reporter, for the record, did a lot of work in Eastern European studies when she was in college, so she was able to point right at it. And to be honest, it's not really that hard to hard to spot, because it's literally like crowns like the Baltic Sea or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
And then he just said, people are going to find out about this. And that was basically the end of it.
His office put out a statement. Said, NPR reporter Mary Louise Kelly lied to me twice. First last month in setting up our interview, and then again yesterday in agreeing to have our post-interview conversation off the record.
Mm-hmm.
It is shameful that this reporter chose to violate the basic rules of journalism and decency. Like, he knows that. If this is another example of how unhinged the media has become in its quest to hurt President Trump, this administration, it is no wonder that the American people distrust many in the media when they so consistently demonstrate their agenda and their absence of integrity. It is worth noting that Bangladesh is not Ukraine.
For the record, Bangladesh is nowhere near Ukraine. Literally on the west of India.
Yeah, and
it's nowhere close to Eastern Europe.
Suggesting that Mary Louise Kelly doesn't know the difference when she has like a degree in Eastern European studies.
Yeah.
Is hilarious. So people are like, wait, does that mean he confused the two?
Probably.
Like, where did this confusion happen? Because it wasn't with her, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So people are like suggesting like he doesn't know where Bangladesh is.
Yeah.
Because I think there's one of the countries around Ukraine starts with a B. Belarus, I think. People are like, maybe he confused Bangladesh and Belarus, which is also a big issue to have there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Belarus is to the north of Ukraine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's trying to say that, except that's not what he said in the statement.
No.
Mm-hmm.
He said Bangladesh, which is like several thousand miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is your Secretary of State. Good luck with that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, for those who don't know, the Ukraine is actually it's literally the crown on the Black Sea.
Mm.
Like, you find the Black Sea and then go up to the nearest large landmass that's not the Autonomous Republic of Kremlin. That's the Ukraine.
Hmm.
Crimea. Yeah, that's Crimea. Yeah, Fucking idiots. I swear.
Yeah, and our generation has been hearing the liberal media and the media's bias against all Republicans. You know what?
Well, maybe we wouldn't be if you didn't give us a fucking reason to be.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, no, we're just telling it like it is.
Yeah.
It's going to wear thin because nobody younger than us is going to believe this shit. Their lies. Yeah. They're
I
also old.
I just want to say and make it for the record, the idea that non-biased objective journalism exists is bullshit.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
So just put that out there.
That's called a book report if you want unbiased.
Yeah.
Even then, they're still shit in it.
Yeah.
Or it's Wikipedia, I guess.
Yeah.
No, no, there's bias in there.
Yeah, there's bias in there, too.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where you go to the comments section on each page and like, read about people going nuts there.
Yeah, try to read like any comment section on, say, the American Civil War, the causes of the American Civil War.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to have fun?
I would imagine if you look at Hillary's Wikipedia page, look at the comments on there, there's probably a lot of fun stuff there.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, next up in Trump fails, that new border wall that's being constructed.
Yeah.
Yeah, pieces of it came loose in California and fell over into Mexico.
Yeah.
Even the wall wants nothing to do with the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so this is Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sections gave way recently. That had been recently set in new concrete foundation in Calexico, California. So they just named that, say, California and Mexico. Just combine it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's, I guess that makes sense of the way cities are named in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many of them. Nobody can come up with interesting ideas. So they said the concrete had not yet cured, and the wall panels were unable to withstand the windy conditions. It's like, maybe don't put them up when there's a windstorm going on.
Yeah, that might be a smart idea, but this is the people building the Trump's wall.
Yeah, they got to get up as fast as possible for as cheap as possible.
Yep. And then don't pay anybody for doing it afterwards.
Yep.
Do we shoot him and how?
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, News Corp. Which, you know, should probably, if we had a soundboard, we would play the Imperial March.
Rupert Murdoch and his ilk.
They have a news aggregation site now called KNews.
News.
Or news.
Mm. Or news. Or that is so fucking stupid.
It's like, that sounds like the, you remember the Simpsons episode where they start the kids' news show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a thing they would come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's news. What's up, young people? How's it going?
It really does.
Yeah, they're trying to compete with, I guess, Google and Facebook's like news pages, aggregation pages now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is,
too late to the game here, guys. Just way too late to the game.
Yeah, too late to the game. Some of your news services are Breitbart and The Sun. So
yeah.
Well, Facebook has Breitbart as a trusted service.
So this is Facebook we're talking about here.
Yeah. And also, if you go to the site on, I think, a browser,
it's fugly as hell.
Yeah. It's white with tons of yellow. Looks like highlighter all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like actually, that looks like a site that was finished.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody just gave up halfway through.
I was trying to think what it reminded me of. Maybe like Drudge Report.
Only not as good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Drudge Report is already shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's like, hey, if you didn't know where to get news before, I guess you can use the stupidest named news site I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when
Google News and actually get good news. Well, mostly.
Yeah, it's like when people own the Chicago Times, Chicago Sun-Times. They renamed their company, I think it was like Kronk, something like that.
Oh, that went well.
Trunk.
Yeah.
Tronc. T-R-O-N-C.
Mm.
Like, this is their hip name, Trunk. Which, that's not a name of anything.
Yeah. No.
God, I just looked at the fucking Drudge Report now. God, this thing has not updated its design since 1998.
No.
I swear.
Yeah, that makes sense, like, if you're on AOL.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of what the internet kind of looked like, was just a bunch of plain links.
Yeah.
Like, our outline here looks better than that site.
Yeah.
God, it does.
Like, there's no fucking bullet points or... And, like, the way he's got, like, all the categories and shit, it makes no goddamn sense. Whatever. Anyway, Chipotle. You guys ever eat at Chipotle?
No.
Sadly. A few times.
Yeah.
Twice, actually.
Yeah. Well, they were recently fined about $1.3 million after they were charged with over 13,000 child labor violations in Massachusetts.
Yeah, this is between 2015 and 2019 at more than 50 Chipotle locations. Teenagers under 18 years old were forced to work without proper work permits, late into the night, and for too many hours per day and week, according to the state. As I say, Chipotle is a major national restaurant chain and employs thousands of young people across the country. It has a duty to ensure minors are safe working in the restaurants. We hope these citations send a message to other fast food chains and restaurants that they cannot violate our child labor laws and put young people at risk.
It will. They'll listen. They'll listen
for
to
about
that.
A week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't
the
know.
Problem is, how do you get the people that eat there to stop? Like, John Ova had a really good bit about this, talking to people, like when they had the salmonella scare, I think it was, a few years ago, and people were like, oh, that's cool, I just want to go there and eat.
Usually the week after something like that is probably the best time to go, because it's the time where they're going to be the most careful.
Yeah. I think there's some story about a bird kept going in, kept flying in, like messing with the food. This was like when the investigator was there checking out how things are going. Like noted, like bird in restaurants. They came back the next day, bird still in restaurant. It's like, oh, this is just a bird that just it's their daily thing. They just come into Chipotle, get their food, and go.
Oh my god.
It's like the asshole that buys food, chills out in the restaurant, just keeps going back for more drinks.
Just
like, here's like, I still
guys.
Have the cup, we just gotta refill it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still a customer. It's like, no, you're not an asshole.
Alright, next up, the Hummer, one of the most obnoxious automobiles ever created.
A pink one in my town.
Yeah, it's military. It's not, I don't know why the fuck they decided to release this for civilian use. But they did.
Because there are assholes all over the country that want an obnoxiously huge vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
To kill
the environment.
Yeah, kill the environment and to compensate for their incredibly small penises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You may have not known, but a few years ago, they kind of stopped making them for a while.
Yeah, because as part of GM's like bankruptcy thing, they killed off a bunch of brands, and Hummer was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Hummer wasn't really doing well anyway. It has markedly gone down in popularity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to have a goddamn Escalade now.
Yeah. But guess what? The Hummer's coming back. As an electric vehicle.
Yep.
As a what?
As
an electric vehicle.
Yeah. All electric Hummer with 1,000 horsepower and ability to accelerate from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds.
Can you pull a pop-up camper with that?
Yes.
Yep.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be doing a official Super Bowl ad featuring it called Quiet Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tune in during the Super Bowl and watch this. They put up a teaser for it, which shows like the grill looking thing, which obviously has the word Hummer on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's basically a pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems.
That's a surprising move, though.
Yeah, well, I think even, like, I think pretty much all of the American car companies realize that renewables...
We're close to reaching peak oil in the next, like, 30 years, and...
Renewables is kind of the way you gotta go.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Let's see, the... Yeah, not much else. They haven't released price yet, so we'll probably have it after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah.
I assume they'll release more information, but I guess it'll be out May 20th?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, that's their big reveal, May 20th. Okay.
Yeah.
They're just going to do another teaser ad, I guess, to show it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the information has the 1,000 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, and 11,500 feet of torque.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big asterisks on all three of those.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Next up, Google Lookout. Google Lookout is now a thing.
Yeah, they finally have it where people can download it and try it out.
Yeah. Google Lookout's AI that helps visually impaired people navigate the world.
Yes. And this is one of those things I am very excited about for obvious reasons.
Because Phil is legally blind, and this is definitely something that would help him.
Yeah. So I tried some of the other stuff that's, you know, been available, and
like lens and stuff.
Yeah, lens and stuff. Yeah. You know, it's for static things, it's okay. There was one that would even like tell you like a person's expressions and stuff like that, which is kind of neat, but it wasn't very quick. So,
no.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm like really super stoked about this, and I'm glad it's on Android so I don't have to buy an iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a lot of people do tend to go that way for accessibility issues.
Yes. And, well, there's been a good reason for that, because iOS's accessibility has been second to none.
Yeah, they really have done a great job with that.
Yeah, but Android has been catching up very quickly. So
they have. There's one that I really hope to try out in the next couple of months. Maybe we'll have an article once the Pixel Buds 2 come out.
Hmm.
And I want to see if they really do Google Translate on the fly.
Mm.
Straight into your ear from what you hear around you.
Yeah, they might.
Well, it's supposed to be how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And I would definitely have many opportunities to test that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I really want to know what people are saying, but,
Yeah, there's probably going to be some, like, machine learning algorithm in the Pixel Buds that goes, oh, no, I'm not translating that.
Yeah.
So good on Google for, you know, making life better for people like me.
Yeah.
And more news that shows that Amazon are assholes. A report found that Amazon sells personal info that's mined with Ring doorbell cameras to third parties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Google, Facebook, anybody else that wants it?
Yeah. Basically.
Didn't somebody just come out... and say that Ring should be discontinued immediately and never, ever, ever brought back.
Yeah, I think there was an engineer. Software engineers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Max Elizer on Medium wrote, Ring should be shut down immediately, not brought back.
I don't know. I never got into those whole doorbell things.
You know, if you have a paranoid family member, it's like all they do whenever they're not home, and even when they are home, is watch their fucking Ring feed. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially brought up definitely concerns of like just privacy, because I saw like a big thing was like with Halloween, like people like sharing videos of cute outfits. Like, did you get the permission of those kids and their parents?
They never do.
It's like, yeah, that's not cool. Sharing videos of kids that were taken without their knowledge.
Mm. Yeah.
It's illegal.
Yeah, kind of
you
illegal.
Have to have,
That's why you have to have a release. Not trust any of these, at least from big, huge companies. Like Amazon's in the market of selling information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's half of the reason for selling you shit, so they can get more information on you,
which
you like.
You guys clearly haven't watched the first two episodes of this season of Doctor Who, huh?
No, not yet.
Because it goes right there. Hmm. It goes right there, and then it goes further, as Doctor Who always does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up in some science news, NASA officially concluded the Spitzer Space Telescope's mission on Thursday. NASA's Webb Telescope will be taking over.
Yep, they've had this thing going for...
They launched it in 2003, so...
Yeah, it's ended yesterday.
Yeah.
16 years, made a lot of discoveries of exoplanets and a lot of stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the new one they've got going up in 2021, the Webb Telescope, is about 1,000 times more powerful, they say.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be able to push Spitzer's science findings to new frontiers, from identifying chemicals in exoplanet atmospheres to locating some of the first galaxies to form after the Big Bang.
Sweet.
Yeah, so... Some big stuff they've had with the findings of the Spitzer Telescope, about 8,700 scientific papers published on that stuff, which is a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah. And there's still more data to go through, so we're going to be hearing about this year before that new one goes live.
Oh, yeah. Mm. No kidding. Mm. All right. Speaking of telescopes and NASA... we actually got the first high-resolution image of the sun's surface from NSF's solar telescope. And basically, it looks like a big ball of sweet corn.
Yeah.
And so I was going to say a window screensaver?
Close.
Hmm.
It could be a wallpaper or a screensaver kind of thing. Mm. But yeah, you can take a look at the image. It's the highest resolution image of the sun's surface ever taken. It's taken at 789 nanometers. We can see features as small as 30 kilometers in size for the first time ever. So, like, keep in mind that scale of what you're seeing there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, parts of that is literally like 18 miles worth of the sun's surface.
Yeah, that little blobby thing. Yeah, that's the size of Texas, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is pretty crazy.
Mm.
You can also download the high resolution ping image of it. It's 5 megs, which is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, these are for the individual ones. Okay, here it is, 7 megs, 7.8 megs. Yeah, it looks like a pile of corn.
Yep.
But yeah, that's. Hold on a second. I clicked out of that. Okay, there we go. Yeah, it's from the National Science Foundation, Daniel K. Inouye Solar Telescope. 4-meter solar telescope is what they use for this.
Yeah, in Hawaii.
That's some pretty cool stuff. And they're kind of working on getting more into space weather, which is something that we don't really have too much in the way of knowledge on that stuff.
Yeah.
which affects a lot of the magnetic stuff on this Earth. And they talk about ways that it affects things here. The motion of the sun's plasma constantly twists and tangles solar magnetic fields. It can lead to solar storms that can negatively affect our technology-dependent modern lifestyles, such as during 2017's Hurricane Irma. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported that a simultaneous space weather event brought down radio communications used by first responders, aviation, and maritime channels for 8 hours on the day the hurricane made landfall. Which is like, if you could have known ahead of time that was going to happen, you could have made preparations for other ways of communicating. But yeah, that kind of thing can happen and just cause a huge blackout amongst the people that most need to be able to communicate with each other on that sort of situation. So ways of being able to predict that stuff is definitely needed.
Mm-hmm.
To at least be able to get out notification as much as 48 hours ahead of time instead of the current standard, which is about 48 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be a huge change.
All right. And now for our penultimate story for the night. Paramount has 2 new Transformers movies in the works.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they've got other things to do, I guess. but yeah, the first one is called The Vanderbilt Project, which is based on Beast Wars.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
could be interesting.
Yeah, they're looking to do that.
That might work.
Yep. The other one is set in the Bumblebee universe, I guess.
Oh.
Which makes sense, because that was one of the few Transformers movies that came out in the past few years that was actually decent.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so they say here, the franchise so far of six movies has amassed $4.8 billion worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hell of a lot of money for a franchise where their good one came at the very last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most people didn't go see because of the reputation of the other ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And finally, last story for the night, we got the first trailer for F9, which is the ninth Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
This is a ridiculous trailer.
Or a ridiculous series.
Yeah, but even then,
they've just gone completely fucking off the deep end with this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the plot that they've shown so far is that John Cena's in this, and he is, I guess, mm-hmm. Dom's brother. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works racially.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is, I guess, like a smarter, faster, stronger version of Dom.
Mm-hmm.
The way they present it. Mm. So, okay. But yeah, the trailer ends with this whole crazy sequence where, I guess there's a rocket car, all this other shit, but John Cena and Dom are driving towards a cliff. John Cena just drives his car off the cliff. He's flying for a bit, and then this jet just comes flying out of nowhere mm-hmm. and uses like a magnetic thing to just pick up the car and leave. Dom's like, not phased at all. He's like, all right, let's do this shit. He just goes at this bridge, former rope bridge. There's just a rope left. Decides just going to drive on this. Somehow it catches on the wheel, and they just go flying off the cliff mm-hmm. with this rope attached, and it seems like it's going to fling them somewhere. Who knows? We don't see the end of it, but it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's like, at this point, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a Rocket League match broke out or something, because it's getting that ridiculous.
Yeah. It would have been more realistic if Michelle Rodriguez is there like, what the fuck are you doing? And I guess Han's back from Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
That's like where they end. It's like, all right. Sure.
That's a thing, all right.
All right. Well, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Yep.
All right, so I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you would like to have a question, comment, or just something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked in the show notes. And you know what? We started doing it last week, so let's do it again. Let's read some spam.
All right.
Let's read some spam, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
I think we got time for maybe one or two.
Okay. All right. So this is a spam mail I got from a Mr. Dot Psalm F. Comma.
Okay, Mr. Comma.
Yeah. Good day. I am Mr. Psalm Salif, a regional managing director, Chorus Bank International, Uga Doduga, Burkina Faso. In my department, we have $9.5 million United States dollars to transfer into your account as a dormant fund. If you are interested to use this fund to help the orphans around the world, contact and send me your personal information for details. Whoa, your full orphans, name, your country of origins, your occupation, your age, your mobile number. Best regards, Mr. Psalm Salif.
I'm not even subtle about that one.
Nope.
Wait, if they want your personal information, just tell them to use the internet.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's personal information is out there. Like, literally, no.
Yeah.
That
like, spam should be out of business. You just go to the internet, the dark web or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all right, yeah. You got it. It's too expensive for them. It's like, we can trick these idiots into just giving it to us.
Yeah, seriously.
Or just start your Facebook competitor, and that's how you get people's personal information.
Yeah. All right, well, again, if you've got actual mail to send us, send it to letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can subscribe to our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just leave the computer on, wait for a few minutes, maybe go take a shower. We'll be there when you get back. And with that, we will bring this to a close. So, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Unalfo, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogi, good night, sleep tight. Hopefully we won't have the plague come the morning.